Well, let us read God's Word together as we find it in the Old Testament and in the book of 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel chapter 7, and we're going to read from verse 3 of 1 Samuel 7. I'm going to be thinking particularly today about verse 12. But we want to see where that verse comes in its context, and so we begin reading at 1 Samuel 7 and verse 3. And Samuel said to all the house of Israel, "If you are returning to the Lord with all your heart, then put away the foreign gods and the Ashtaroth from among you, and direct your heart to the Lord, and serve Him only. And He will deliver you out of the hand of the Philistines." So the people of Israel put away the Baals and the Ashtaroth, and they served the Lord only. Then Samuel said, "Gather all Israel at Mizpah, and I will pray to the Lord for you." So they gathered at Mizpah, and drew water, and poured it out before the Lord, and fasted on that day, and said there, "We have sinned against the Lord." And Samuel judged the people of Israel at Mizpah. Now when the Philistines heard that the people of Israel had gathered at Mizpah, the lords of the Philistines went up against Israel, and when the people of Israel heard of it, they were afraid of the Philistines. And the people of Israel said to Samuel, "Do not cease to cry out to the Lord our God for us, that He may save us from the hand of the Philistines." So Samuel took a sucking lamb and offered it as a whole burnt offering to the Lord. And Samuel cried out to the Lord for Israel, and the Lord answered him. As Samuel was offering up the burnt offering, the Philistines drew near to attack Israel. But the Lord thundered with a mighty sound that day against the Philistines and threw them into confusion, and they were routed before Israel. And the men of Israel went out from Mizpah and pursued the Philistines and struck them as far as below Beth-Kar. Then Samuel took a stone and set it up between Mizpah and Shen and called its name Ebenezer. For he said, "Till now the Lord has helped us." So the Philistines were subdued and did not again enter the territory of Israel. And the hand of the Lord was against the Philistines all the days of Samuel. The cities that the Philistines had taken from Israel were restored to Israel from Ekron to Gath, and Israel delivered their territory from the hand of the Philistines. There was peace also between Israel and the Amorites. Amen. This is the word of the Lord. Well, please turn back with me now in God's Word to 1 Samuel chapter 7, to those verses that we read earlier in our service. And we're going to think particularly about, as I said, verse 12. 1 Samuel 7 and verse 12. It is a pity that the name Ebenezer has so many negative associations, thanks to Charles Dickens' Christmas Carol. And it's a pity because the name, of course, comes from this passage of Scripture that we have just read together. And it has a wonderful and encouraging, positive, glorious meaning. It is the name given to the monument set up by Samuel and the Israelites as a reminder of God's remarkable help in a time of national crisis. The word Ebenezer means stone of help, and its meaning is explained by Samuel in the rest of this verse. "Till now, the Lord has helped us." Ebenezer, stone of help, because till now, the Lord has helped us. And that's a great name, isn't it, for us to focus on here this morning as we meet together inside our building after coming through 3 months of lockdown because of this coronavirus pandemic. And yet, as we've made reference already, things are still not all that we would want them to be. We're not able to have very much singing at all, and that is a great grief to all of us. Quite a number of our congregation aren't able to join with us this morning because of underlying health concerns. We're not all able to sit together in the same room. We're not able to enjoy chatting together freely and mingling before and after our services. And the future is very uncertain, isn't it? Is there going to be another surge in the infection rate which is going to lead to another complete or partial lockdown? And so for that reason too, this name Ebenezer is a great encouragement and a great comfort. Till now, the Lord has helped us. I want to think about this under three headings this morning. First of all, we see here a reminder of God's help in the past. Ebenezer is a reminder of God's help in the past. This stone was set up at an incredibly significant moment in the history of Israel. It was set up on the day of a great military victory. And what was especially significant was that this victory, this victorious battle that the Israelites have just won, it took place on the very same site of a catastrophic defeat that had taken place just two decades before this. And if you want to read about that later on, it's in chapter 4 of 1 Samuel. And that defeat by the Philistines at this place two decades before was one of the two great calamities that befell Israel. There wouldn't be another disaster like that one for another 400 years when Babylon invaded Jerusalem and destroyed the temple of God. It really was a catastrophe in the history of Israel. It's easy to skim over that and to miss that because there are so many battles that are described. But that the one that took place 20 years before this on this site really was one of the very worst catastrophes that ever took place in Israel. The priests, Eli and his two sons, Hophni and Phinehas, died on that day, and 30,000 foot soldiers were killed. And the tragedy of that day was so appalling that the details of it were repeated four times just to bring home, to emphasize the horror of what had happened. Chapter 4, verse 10, verse 17, verse 19, and then verses 21 and 22. In different ways, the narrator runs over the same statistics again and again and again and again. This awful catastrophe that took place 20 years before. But by contrast then, this victory was so decisive and so complete that we're told in verse 13, not only that the Philistines came no more into Israel's territory, but that even better than that, Israel was able to recapture cities that had been lost to the Philistines. It was a spectacular success against all the odds. And we don't have time to get into it, but the writer wants us to notice that contrast in chapter 7 in a lot of different ways. So what was it that made the difference 20 years later? Why was there such a resounding victory this time in the very place where there had been this disastrous defeat before? Was it that Israel had better leadership this time? Did they have better tactics? Did they have better weapons? Did they have better counterintelligence? What was it this time that gave them the edge over the Philistines that they hadn't had before? Well, it's made clear, isn't it, in verse 10, that it's the Lord's doing, pure and simple. As Samuel was offering up the burnt offering, the Philistines drew near to attack Israel. But the Lord thundered with a mighty sound that day against the Philistines and threw them into confusion, and they were routed before Israel. Back in chapter 4, 20 years before this, the Israelites had a huge army, massive force, but they weren't trusting the Lord, and they were defeated. Here in chapter 7, they have a much smaller army, but they are trusting the Lord, and so they win the victory. And so, in grateful recognition of the Lord's help, Samuel sets up this memorial of the Lord's victory. Till now, the Lord has helped us. But of course, he's not just thinking, is he, about this one single instance of the Lord's help, as if this is the only way that the Lord has helped them. No, that little phrase, till now, sometimes it's translated thus far, it implies a long history of help stretching back over many, many years, doesn't it? Deuteronomy 4, verse 7. What great nation is there that has a God so near to it as the Lord our God is to us whenever we call upon him? In other words, the history of Israel is really just the story of the Lord's help, stretching back over generations. All the way back, actually, to the Garden of Eden, where Adam and Eve have sinned against the Lord. They've rebelled against him. They've broken the one commandment that God had given to them, and they're about to be judged. And yet, at that very moment, God makes a wonderful promise of help, that he's going to send a Savior who's going to destroy the devil, who's going to undo the harm that Adam and Eve have done. He's going to help the human race rather than destroy it. You see it at the flood when he sends Noah to build an ark. He helps. He gives the directions, the dimensions, the materials. He brings the animals. He preserves the human race. He preserves the animals and the insects. He doesn't snuff out life completely. He helps. He calls Abraham after yet another drastic rebellion against the Lord at the Tower of Babel. He calls Abraham and he makes promises to Abraham and he enters into a covenant with Abraham. And he starts over again and he promises to build a new society through this man and through his family so that eventually all the peoples of the earth would be blessed through Abraham. He helps. He takes the family of Abraham down into Egypt to preserve them and keep them safe so that they will grow into a nation. He puts them into a kind of incubator in Egypt where they multiply so that they come out. They went in 75 odd people and they come out 2 million people. And he brings them through the wilderness and he brings them into the promised land and he enables them to defeat his enemies again and again and again. The whole of the Old Testament is the story, isn't it, of the Lord's help for his people. Till now, the Lord has helped us. And surely Samuel is thinking, too, of the hard things that Israel has experienced. Because the Lord has been helping his people even then, in the disasters, in the judgments, by means of these hard things. That catastrophic defeat in chapter 4, that was part of the Lord's help as well, wasn't it? Even then he was helping his people because he humbled them and he brought them to repentance. And he was purifying this corrupt nation that Israel had become. He was purifying the corrupt priesthood. He was renewing the nation through Samuel. And even when the ark is captured and the Philistines were butchering the Israelites and seizing the plunder, even then, that was part of the Lord's help, wasn't it? He was working all these things together for good. Till now, the Lord has helped us. One commentator puts it like this. He says, even amid the desolations of Shiloh, chapter 4, the Lord was helping them to know their sins and the bitter fruit and punishment of sin. The links of the long chain denoted by Samuel's till now were not all of one kind. Some were in the form of mercies. Many were in the form of chastenings. Not those words, till now. They invite us to think of this long chain of help stretching back thousands of years. But as the commentator says, the links are not all of the same kind. Some of them are mercies. Well, all of them are mercies, I suppose. But some of them are chastenings. But yet they're all help. It doesn't always necessarily feel as if the Lord is helping us. And yet we know that all things work together for the good of those who love him. Till now, the Lord has helped us. And now he's done it again here in chapter 7 by giving them this wonderful victory against all the odds. He's helped them on this highly significant, momentous occasion, this critical moment in their history. Till now, and including now, the Lord has helped us. And surely this day in our history, this day when the churches in our land reopen, is a good opportunity to reflect, to look back, and to recollect how the Lord has helped us. Hopefully we can all of us say, till now, the Lord has helped us. During this unprecedented time of lockdown, it's good for us, it's good practice to write down and keep where you can find it easily, a list of Ebenezers, a list of ways in which the Lord has helped you. It's good for us to actually take time to write it down. Don't trust your memory, because you think you're going to remember things, but inevitably we forget. But also, it's good to articulate it. It's good to have to put it into words and to write down how precisely the Lord has helped me. So that if we were to ask each of us now, how has the Lord helped you over these months? How has the Lord helped you over these last 3 or 4 years of your life? You wouldn't have to think. You wouldn't have to search around or just leave it very vague and say, well, he's really helped me and blessed me and strengthened and comforted me in lots of ways. It's good to write it down, to make an Ebenezer, not a big stone that you engrave in the garden, although if you want to do that and you're able to do that, maybe there are worse ways of decorating your garden, but have a journal, keep a list. Put a file on your phone that you keep adding to of your Ebenezers, all the ways in which the Lord has helped us. What is there that you can give thanks to the Lord for over these months of lockdown? Can you see? Are you already able to see ways that the Lord has blessed you and helped you individually and as a family? And God willing, we'll see ways as a congregation in coming months how he has helped us. It's been a time of affliction. There's no doubt about that. It's been a difficult and anxious time for the vast majority of people. Watching the spread of a virus raging like wildfire across the world, it's like something out of a movie. And yet we're seeing it on our news reports rather than in a film or a cinema. The scale of it has been awe-inspiring, hasn't it? As we've seen how this microscopic virus, I was going to say germ, I don't know if it is a germ, this microscopic virus, how it has affected every nation. In one way or another, it's affected every individual on this planet. As we've watched nations closing their borders, closing down society, building massive hospitals, as we've seen supermarkets running out of supplies because of panic buying, as we've experienced the pain of not being able to visit family and friends, as we've experienced the pain of not being able to meet together like this for worship on the Lord's Day, not being able to go to one another's homes for our home groups. There's been the much more minor, but no less real disappointment of cancelled holidays. Our P7s and our year 14s missing the last few weeks of their school careers. It's been a difficult time of affliction for almost all of us. And yet, the Lord has helped, hasn't He? Till now, the Lord has helped us. He has given us the strength to endure all of this. Leaving aside all the political and medical questions about this virus, whatever we think about it, we can give thanks that He has given us the strength to endure all of these things. Perhaps we can see how He has strengthened our faith in the midst of frightening and hard circumstances. I know from speaking to many of you how He has enabled you to wrestle with fear and overcome fear. People who perhaps didn't think of themselves as prone to fear, and yet this pandemic, this lockdown, this unusual situation has brought that fear bubbling to the surface. He's protected us from serious illness in our congregation. Very few of us have contracted this virus. No one has been seriously ill from it. No one has died from it. The congregation has ministered to itself in love as members have called one another and texted one another and Zoomed with one another. And we've come up with all kinds of wonderful, creative ways of showing kindness and love to the needy and to the lonely and to the isolated in our congregation. Our home groups have been a great source of encouragement as we've prayed for one another, as we've had the opportunity to see each other's faces over the internet. Our prayer meeting has increased in size, maybe 3 times the size of what it would normally be. The ministry of God's Word has been able to continue without any interruption week after week and even reach many more people than it would normally reach. Our deacons have exercised compassionate ministry and given practical help in all kinds of ways to those in greater need. The elders have kept in touch with their members more than usual. We've met to pray together more frequently than usual. The Lord has brought us through this time of lockdown, and we're now coming out on the other side. And we can say, like the Israelites all those years ago, till now, thus far, the Lord has helped us, and we're thankful. It's a reminder of God's help in the past. Then secondly, more briefly, it's a pledge of God's help in the future. It's a pledge of God's help in the future. The implication here clearly is that the Lord is going to keep on helping His people. That's the whole point of setting up a stone to be a permanent monument, so that future generations will see it. It'll still be there. It won't wash away. It won't melt it's going to be there for a long, long time to come. And future generations will be able to see this stone and understand what it means. They'll be encouraged to trust the Lord for help in their day. Till now, the Lord has helped us. It'd be pretty mean, wouldn't it, if what that meant was, he helped us, but he isn't going to help you. Till now, the Lord has helped us, but he's not going to help us any longer. From now on, we're on our own, and our help is going to have to come from somewhere else. That's not what it means. That's not the point. Far from it. It's to encourage faith. It's to encourage trusting the Lord for help into the future. And that certainly was the case with Israel. The Lord continued, didn't he, to lavish his help upon his people for centuries. He sent his prophets to speak his word. He gave kings to the nation. He chastised his people. He rescued them from their enemies. He spoke his word to them. And we're meant to look back at all the Ebenezers in our past so that we draw comfort and strength for the future. When we're struggling, when our children are anxious about something, we're meant to take out that list of Ebenezers and remind them of it and hold it up and show them the stone, as it were, and say, look, do you not remember? Have you forgotten? Do you not see all these ways that the Lord has helped us in the past? Do you really think that after doing all of that, he's going to stop helping you now? Do you not remember? He helped you in that situation when you felt so frightened and so overwhelmed and at your wits' end. And now you're in the same situation again. You can trust him to help you now. It's a pledge of God's help for the future. That's what we're meant to do. That's why we keep these memorials, these stones, these lists. One writer says, memory keeps gratitude fresh, and gratitude keeps faith faithful. Gratitude keeps faith faithful. And that's what so many of the Psalms do, isn't it? They consciously, in times of trouble, they consciously, deliberately remember the Lord's past goodness. Psalm 77, verses 10 to 12. The psalmist says, I will appeal to this, to the years of the right hand of the Most High. I will remember the deeds of the Lord. Yes, I will remember your wonders of old. I will ponder all your work and meditate on your mighty deeds. You know, it's just another way of saying, I'm going to get out my list of Ebenezers, and I'm going to remember all the ways that you've helped in the past to strengthen my faith now so that I'll trust you in the present, in this difficult time, and into the future. And that's what so many of the Psalms do. They recount the Lord's acts of power and mercy to Israel in the past. It sometimes seems a bit tedious. Why all this history, all these lists of names and places and circumstances, and what's that got to do with? Why with us? Why is that supposed to help us? But that's our history too. It's reminding us that the Lord has helped in the past. Helped and helped and helped and helped and helped again. And that's meant to encourage us then in the present and in the future. And that's true for us today. The Lord has helped us till now, and he's not going to stop helping us in the future. Who knows what's in store for any one of us in the coming months? Maybe there will be another lockdown. I sincerely hope not, but it's possible. Job losses, it's already happening, isn't it? And perhaps that's going to be a common feature in our prayer points for our members as people are made redundant. The knock-on effect of recession or even economic depression, a recurring wave of coronavirus without any vaccine, education being disrupted as schools and universities have to close. Never mind all the usual fears and concerns about the future that haunt us anyway, about our children, difficult decisions that we have to make about our job or about our homes, our finances. We look at the future, particularly just right now at this crossroads in our nation's history. We look at the future and we're anxious. How am I going to cope? Here's how you're going to cope. Till now, the Lord has helped us, and He's going to keep on helping. You're not going to cope because you're such a strong person. You're going to cope because the Lord is your helper. We don't know what's in store in the future, but we do know this, that the Lord will help us no matter what happens. Not just till now, but from now, the Lord is our helper. It's a reminder of God's help in the past. It's a pledge of God's help in the future. And then lastly, it's a challenge to lay hold of God's help in the present. It's a challenge to lay hold of God's help in the present. How did this help come to Israel? Was it automatic? Was it unconditional? Well, look at what Israel was doing before the battle. Were the generals gathered together discussing strategy and devising tactics? Did they get all the soldiers out doing training exercises and maneuvers? Is that what they were doing? No. From verse 5, it says that they were fasting, they were praying, they were confessing their sin, and they were offering sacrifices for sin. They were doing what Samuel had commanded them to do in verse 3. Put away the foreign gods and the Ashtaroth from among you, and direct your heart to the Lord, and serve Him only, and He will deliver you out of the hand of the Philistines. That's what they did. They recommitted themselves to the Lord, and the Lord helped them. Hopefully, lockdown has been a time of recommitment to the Lord for all of us. It has left some people busier even than before lockdown. But for most people, perhaps, lockdown has been a gift of extra time. Time to take stock of your life. Time to examine yourself spiritually. Time to spend even more time than usual meditating on God's word and praying. While people in the world have used that extra time for binge-watching Netflix and surfing social media and trying to think of all kinds of weird and wonderful ways to amuse themselves, Christians have hopefully been doing the kinds of things that Israel did here. Return to the Lord with all your heart and put away foreign gods and Ashtaroth from among you. And if you haven't done that, then why not set aside time while there still is perhaps some time to do that as soon as possible? Maybe you've been guilty of flirting with other gods. The worship of Baal and Ashtoreth in the Old Testament was very popular with worshippers because it appealed to the senses. It was exciting and it was pleasurable. It was all about pleasure. And that's still a huge temptation, isn't it, for Christians today, to make a god out of the things that stimulate our senses, the things that give us an instant hit of pleasure. And lockdown, God in His grace has removed a lot of those idols of pleasure. Let's not put them back again on their pedestals as lockdown comes to an end. Instead, in the words of Samuel, direct your hearts to the Lord and serve Him only. And as we do that more and more, we'll experience the Lord's help more and more in ever-increasing measure, in every part of our lives, in our home life, in our family life, in our marriage, in our work, in our church. Direct your hearts to the Lord and serve Him only. Honor Him. Put Him first at the center of everything. And here, once again, we're surrounded, as we sit in church, by a great cloud of witnesses who have served the Lord wholeheartedly for decades. And they can say to you today, if you're wondering about whether it's really worth serving the Lord, they can say to you, I have done it, and it's worth it. You look around, well, actually, maybe don't look around. It might make them feel self-conscious. But in your mind's eye, look around the congregation and look for those older saints who have trusted the Lord and directed their hearts into His worship and have served Him for decades. They can say to you today, till now, the Lord has helped us. He has never failed. And He never will. And remember, we have a far better memorial stone to be our Ebenezer than Samuel and the Israelites did. That great stone that was rolled in front of the tomb of Jesus, closing in His corpse. 3 days later, that stone was rolled away to let the women and the disciples in to see that He had risen. This, in chapter 7 of 1 Samuel, was a great victory, a resounding victory, a famous victory. But on that first day of the week, when Jesus rose from the dead, that was the greatest victory that the universe has ever witnessed. Satan was defeated, his head was crushed, and the people of God were ransomed and rescued forever. And the risen Christ ascended to the right hand of God and sent His Holy Spirit to indwell us, His people, and do what? To be our helper. To help us. To be another helper, just like Jesus had been. To be one who comes alongside, the paraclete, you remember, who comes alongside and helps us. The stone rolled away from Christ's tomb says to us in the most emphatic possible terms, the Lord has helped. And He always will. He's going to keep on helping. When the Lord has given His Son for us, how will He not also, along with Him, graciously give us all things? And this help, the Lord's help, is freely available for everyone today who does what Israel did. If you direct your heart to the Lord and serve Him only, then you can say, till now, and you'll always be able to say, every day of your life until you reach heaven and even to all eternity, till now, the Lord has helped me. Amen. Well, let's stand together for prayer. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we rejoice in this wonderful picture of a stone of help. Till now, the Lord has helped us. And Father, with far, far greater reason than the Israelites of old had, we can say those words today. Till now, the Lord has helped us. Not just because we have lived for another 3,000 years of history on earth, seeing Your help down through the generations, but because You have helped us by giving us the greatest demonstration of Your help that the universe has ever seen. For we live on this side of the Lord's sacrifice and resurrection. Heavenly Father, You have helped us by sending Your Son to live and die and rise again for us. And we give You our thanks and our praise. We thank You for calling us to belong to you, for saving us, for changing our hearts by your Holy Spirit. You have given us every spiritual blessing, everything that we need for life and godliness. You have blessed us so richly and so abundantly and so constantly. Till now, you have helped us. We thank you, Lord God, that we know that that help is never going to run out, but that you're going to continue to help day by day, hour by hour, minute by minute, to the very end of the age. Heavenly Father, we pray that you will help us to trust you, especially in these uncertain days when things are so much in flux. We pray that you will help us to trust that you will be our help and our shield, not just in the past, but into the future. Draw near, Lord God, we pray, and help those who particularly need your help just at this very moment. And we pray, Father, for those who are not yet Christians. We pray that you will draw them to yourself, that you will give them the greatest help that could ever be given, enabling them to repent and believe the gospel and to trust Jesus Christ. And so, our Father, we thank you for our time of worship together. We thank you for our fellowship. We pray that you will continue to meet with us and bless us throughout the rest of this day. And now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.